Aloha, my name is Cameron Maciel, and I'm with Chuck Maciel, and we are jumping into Big Island TV episode 3. This episode is going to be basically talking about the learning of the banking language, and basically what we did today, we haven't done an episode in almost 3 weeks now, so we know that during this time of the year, we kind of get into
time constraints.
Yeah,
because we're kind of getting pressed because of the holidays, wanting to go back to the mainland to spend time with family, like most people want to spend time with family during the holidays. We just completed a house in one area that a local family was able to buy into, which was very, very exciting, that they watched the construction of the house from day one. They've seen everything that went into the house, so they know every bit and piece of. We can't tell them nothing about the house.
Yeah.
Because
they know everything.
They've been watching it from day one. And it was kind of interesting because I remember mentioning to them, if you didn't know this, we insulated the house. They go, yeah, we know. We watched it being insulated.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an exciting deal that we didn't know we had an audience, but yet we had an audience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the awesome part about it was
the rewarding part about it, being a part of a first-time home buyer.
Absolutely. But the biggest thing is that we didn't know they were going to be a buyer.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were watching us step by step building this house became a very exciting situation that I guess we were doing the right things because they're excited about the house. They critiqued the house and saw every stage of the building of it, which was really fun for us because it's like, wow, well, I guess we're doing the right thing because there's nothing about the house they're complaining about.
Yeah.
And so with that, getting that wrapped up, we got our finals today on it, so we're solid on moving forward. They're doing their loan and everything else, and escrow building along. And aside from that, finishing up another house that we're working on that you seem to be like you kind of dirty this late at night. I mean, what were you working on today?
Oh, we have this large Lahala home, and the master has tons of tile. So it's a lot of the detail work that you want to pay attention to and get it done right. So there's a lot of tedious work in that. So getting a lot of work done in a day is really hard, so gotta work late to get the details done.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we both work late.
Yeah, I mean, I worked on the cabinetry, getting the cabinets installed in the kitchen, getting ready to start getting our base on the cabinets ready for granite, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to get more of the finished work done, baseboard doors, casings, mm-hmm. The bases on top of the cabinets to get granite going on that, and then you'll continue on the master bath. We're kind of on a time crunch because we're scheduled to leave in a few days to go back to the mainland, so we're trying to push to get it done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the good thing about it is that you're documenting the work you're doing.
Today I actually, right when I got to the Lahala today, I actually made an intro video of walking through the house and showing what work's already done and showing the tile. So a lot of these audiences that we have on many different platforms between Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, they're seeing the stages as we're doing them, so it's really cool.
Well, that's good because then they can actually see, people who are familiar with the work, they can tell whether or not we're doing any shortcuts.
Yeah.
They can tell whether or not we're spending time on the detail.
Yeah.
And they can see how we're taking our time on getting the work done.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the qualities of doing the documenting of this is that people can see the stages of the house being built.
Yeah.
So,
for everyone, but even the buyer that buys a home, they have kind of like
an this, evidence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like they can watch even if they weren't around when the house was being built, they have this kind of footage to like jump in and watch how their home was built.
Absolutely. No, which is really good information for them because a lot of times, it's kind of like watching, buying a house, but you don't know what's involved in the house.
Yeah.
And along the way,
the
you've been documenting.
Behind it.
Absolutely. You've been documenting the framing, the trusses, now going into the finish work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually see all the work that's involved in building the house and actually see that it is a lot of work involved.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of tedious time in the details to get that finished product.
Mm-hmm.
So great. But aside from that, today we want to talk about trying to minimize the anxiety as well as the frustration of learning what banking is all about. A lot of times if people go into the banks or they go to mortgage brokerages, they're not real familiar with what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate thing about it is that, you know, it's just human nature.
Yeah.
You know, human nature that people are nervous.
Yeah.
They don't want to look like they're uneducated or they don't know what's going on. And I'm hoping that what we can do here is that we can actually take this information, which is basic information.
So can you put into a role play almost as if you were the bank and I was the home buyer and you're going through the process real quick and you're naming off what kind of terms?
Okay, so here's the thing. You're going to come into the bank. You've never bought a home before. So right off the bat, you're nervous.
Oh, yeah.
You're intimidated. You're like, oh my gosh, this is huge. This is giant. You know, what am I getting myself into? Well, you already have that anxiety already of buying, wanting.
Yeah.
You're not buying yet.
Yeah.
You want to buy.
Yeah.
And then you got this person behind the desk who is actually going to start naming off a bunch of things to you that you have no clue about. They're just doing it in acronyms because it's simpler for them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when they start talking about PITI and impound accounts and escrow.
They want to nod and...
Okay.
I know what that is.
And, you know, and the thing about it is that, you know, that we've talked about it before. Those people go home and they look at each other and they're going... What
Did
were they
understand?
Talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought you knew. You were nodding your head yes.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of like bring that stuff down and simplify it so that when you do go into a bank or a mortgage broker and they use these terms, you know exactly what they're saying. You know exactly what they're talking about and you're familiar with it. So when you're nodding your head, I understand, you understand. And the challenge of it is I don't understand why these bankers or mortgage brokers don't want to take the time to walk you through the steps of learning what you're dealing with.
Well, I think the biggest problem is because if the home buyer is already nervous and they don't want to sound uneducated, then they might get basically the feeling like I need to know what I'm talking about or what I'm listening to. And if they're not answering questions, then a bank or mortgage broker is not going to go into detail, especially if you're not answering questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
asking questions.
And that's what I'm hoping that what we can do here is we can take a lot of these terms, we can take a lot of these acronyms, and we can actually break them down step by step what each letter of the acronym actually means.
Mm-hmm.
So that when a new home buyer, first time home buyer, you know, because that's the same thing too. They talk about first time home buyers. You know, what is that? Well, we want to talk about that. We want to talk about what those terms mean. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that we're educating the consumer so that when they walk into a bank or they walk into a mortgage broker, they have the confidence, they have the knowledge, they have the security to know that what that banker or broker is going to say to them, they're going to have the education to know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to break down today is we're going to talk about the different types of loans.
Okay.
And there's only a couple of different types of loans. So on a first-time home buyers program, that's basically people buying a home for the first time. The funny thing about it is it doesn't necessarily apply to someone buying a home for the first time. There's a criteria behind it. So even the statement of a first-time home buyer is very misleading. When you buy a home for the first time, you're considered a first-time home buyer.
Yeah.
But after a number of years has passed and you buy again, you can still be considered a first-time home buyer. And it's the way the program's structured.
Okay.
So the idea of a first-time home buyer program is to actually try to get people to come in and buy a home. So the traditional way in America is to buy a FHA loan. So most people are going to say, okay, FHA loan, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the most simplest loan you can get, and it's a Federal Housing Administration loan.
Okay.
Which basically means that the government backs the loan. So the requirements for that has some rigidity, but it also has a lot of flexibility. The rigidity is on an FHA loan, you have to live there. So you're getting the loan, it's for you to live there. So it can't be an investment home. So you can't get an FHA loan with the intent of turning around and using it as an investment. Meaning you're going to rent it out. So when you get an FHA loan, you have to say, you're going to live there. This is my house. This is my home. So because you're doing that, that now becomes more of a root base, which means this is home, this is where I'm living, this is where I'm gonna be, I'm gonna protect this. Whereas if they allowed you to do this on an investment, the investment house is secondary to your primary house. You're gonna take care of your home before you think about your secondary home. So on an FHA, the standards and requirements are not as rigid as it would be for an investment home. So as a first-time home buyer, it's gonna be a little easier for you to qualify for an FHA loan. And there's less money to put down on an FHA loan. So FHA, like we said, is a Federal Housing Administration loan that's backed by the government that says, okay, home buyer, you agree to live here. We agree to make the rules a little flexible for you to buy this house that you agree to live in. And then you live in the house. Mm-hmm. And then that's some of the requirements. So some of the things that are flexible on it is...
So what are some of the dangers part? Let's say if someone's getting an FHA loan and they don't plan on living there, then what happens? What are some of the things that could go wrong with something like that?
Well, they can call the note. Mm-hmm. Because now you basically said you were going to live in the house and you didn't live in the house. And as a result of that, they can say, okay, well, you need to pay up the money, or we're gonna foreclose on the house. Huh. So you gotta be careful with that. You don't wanna be tiptoeing around on this, saying, well, I'm just gonna tell them to live there, but I'm really not gonna, I'm gonna rent it out.
Yeah.
You can get yourself in a lot of trouble on that, because that would actually teeter on fraud. Mm-hmm. Okay, now,
good to know.
You might be in a situation where circumstances may force you to do something different, but your intent should always be that you're going to live there, because that's what you told them you were gonna do. So, but again, things can change.
Yeah.
So now, aside from an FHA loan, would be a conventional loan. Mm-hmm. Now, a conventional loan is basically anybody can get a conventional loan. There are no requirements in terms of being a low income or first time buyer or anything of that nature. But on a conventional loan, traditionally, they're going to want you to have 20% down. So you figure on a $200,000 house, they're going to want you to put $40,000 down. That's a lot of money for most people. Not only do they want 20% down, you got to cover your closing costs, which we're going to get into some of those details of closing costs.
Yeah.
So on a conventional loan, they don't care whether you live there or you don't live there, because they got 20% equity on it now. So if you buy a house on a conventional loan and you put 20% down, say on a $200,000 house, you put $40,000 down, that puts a bank in a leverage position, which means, okay, well, if you don't live here, you do live here. It doesn't matter. We have leverage on you. We got 20% equity. So if we have to foreclose, we're ahead 20%.
Yeah.
We're on the FHA side. They don't have any leverage on it. It's a zero to dollar loan, which means you don't put money down per se on the loan. You will put money down, which we'll go back to the FHA loan, because they'll say it's a no down loan, but that doesn't mean you don't have to come up with money. Okay, so this is where the confusion comes into play, because the banker as well as the mortgage broker will tell you, this is a no money down FHA loan, but you gotta put 3% to cover your impound account.
But you just said no money down.
No money down, okay. So this is where the confusion comes into play. Because what happens is that what the banker and the mortgage broker didn't explain to you, yes, on the $200,000 mortgage, you're not putting any money down on the mortgage. But what you do is you have to put money in your impound account. Now what the impound account is, and people are going to go, well, if it's no money down, it's no money down. Where are you coming up with this down payment? Well, it's not. Basically, what they're doing is they have an impound account that covers taxes and insurance. So what they'll do is they'll figure out, okay, for this house, this $200,000 house, your taxes should be right around X, and whatever that X number is, and your insurance should be X, whatever that number comes out to be. And usually when you combine the two, taxes and insurance, which is TI of the PI TI. Mm-hmm. So on the TI, taxes and insurance, is usually about 3% for the year. So what they do is they say, okay, we want you to bring up 3% of the sale of the house. So you figure 3% of a $200,000 house is going to be about $6,000. Now, your question is, wait a minute, you said no money down. Mm-hmm. There is no money down. Mm-hmm. This is basically, you're going to take your money. Preparing for the taxes and insurance to come.
Yeah.
Now, when they give you your monthly payment, you want to make sure that you're finding out that the monthly payment, which is principal and interest, you want to make sure that principal and interest, as well as taxes and insurance, is included in that payment. Mm. And the reason why is this, that 3% that we came up with, the $6,000, uh-huh, is going to go into an account, and every month you're going to be putting principal and interest to the loan, and the taxes and insurance, a little bit every month, is going to be replenishing that the $6,000. So when taxes come due twice a year, half of it's going to come out in the middle of the year, the second half is going to come out at the end of the year, and then once a year your insurance is going to come out. They want to make sure that you're replenishing that account and you're ahead of that account. Mm-hmm. So they have the money in this impound account, which is a savings account of yours, mm-hmm, that when the time comes due, the bank pays the taxes and the bank pays the insurance. Now, just so you're not being burdened with an all of a sudden, boom, you know, it's high property taxes once a year, or boom, your insurance payment once a year, you're making these little increment payments every month, mm-hmm, which is part of your payment. You're,
yeah,
fixed.
Yeah.
So
bank does all the hard work for you, so you're not paying three different people for your home.
The bank is managing it for you.
Yeah.
So the bank, and it's kind of funny because a lot of people don't understand that the bank is doing two things. Number one, they're doing you a favor because you don't have to think about the taxes and insurance. Number two, they're protecting themselves. Mm-hmm. Because they want to make sure the taxes are being paid, and they want to make sure that the house is insured.
Yeah, because it's their money on the line.
That's their money on the line. Exactly. So they want to protect their money, and that's what you're doing with your tax, with your insurance and your impound account. Mm-hmm. So when they tell you that it's a no money down, it really is not a no money down. You will have to put money down, but it's basically taking it from your savings account and putting it into another savings account that you can't touch.
Yeah, it's just preparing you for what's to come.
For what's to come.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So taking that acronym, when they talk about, well, how much is the payment going to be? Well, your PITI. Mm-hmm. Now you know. Principal, interest, PI. TI, taxes and insurance. So now you know that your monthly payment is X. So let's just hypothetically say that a $200,000 house at 5% interest is going to be $1,100 a month PITI. Mm-hmm. So out of that $1,100 a month, a portion is going to go to principal, a, mm-hmm, portion is going to go to interest, a portion is going to go to taxes, and a portion is going to go to insurance. Mm-hmm. So you're covered. So now you have no surprises. Now, make sure we understand something here. This is on a fixed interest rate, not an adjustable interest rate. This is on a fixed interest rate. Adjustable interest rates, we're not going to really get into right now.
Stay away.
Stay away from adjustable rates.
Yeah.
Unless you really understand adjustable rate mortgages, which we'll talk about later on.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about that right now because that gets really confusing.
Yeah.
So you want to know, as a first-time home buyer, how much do I have to pay every month till this loan is paid off?
Yeah.
And as long as you know that, and you know that you can afford that, you're fine. Now, some of the things that will change in your payment, that could change, is if property taxes go up, which sometimes they do, and it's usually in a 10-year increments, your tax and insurance will change. Mm-hmm. So your payment might fluctuate a few dollars. Mm-hmm. If your insurance fluctuate, because you stop and think that if you insure your house today in 2018, and a 30-year loan,
yeah,
you know, things are going to be more expensive in 10, 20, 30 years from now.
Absolutely.
So understandably, your insurance is going to go up. So your payment may adjust a little bit for that inflation. So, you know, you may be a fixed payment, But in 10, 15 years, your insurance may go up because things, everything else around you goes up. So they may adjust that. So keep that in mind. It isn't going to be anything drastic. You'll be forewarned on it. But the biggest thing is, as long as you're taking care of your home, like everybody should be doing,
yeah,
you should be pretty stable. You should be pretty comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what PITI is about on that.
The PITI, is that's the same across the two different types of loans that you talked about?
Okay, so that's one of the key things now. FHA loans are mandatory PITI loans, mm-hmm, which means that they will collect their payment to cover principal and interest, taxes, and insurance. Now, conventional loans are a little different. Mm-hmm. Conventional loans don't always necessarily have an impound account. Mm-hmm. They may leave that to you to be responsible to pay your taxes and insurance.
Oh.
So, again, on a conventional loan, they're not really that rigid on that side of it because
you already put so much
20% down.
Yeah.
You got 20% down. You obviously have enough wherewithal to come up with 20% down. We'd hope to think that you got enough wherewithal to pay your taxes and insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want to be losing the house because you didn't pay your taxes. So there's a lot of pros and cons to both loans.
Yeah.
Now, depending on the type of conventional loan you have, I'm not real familiar with what the numbers are today, but depending on where you're at on that conventional loan, the loan backer or the investor may require MIP. Now, MIP, and again, we're talking a lot about first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
So we're really getting into another area that's different.
Yeah.
So MIP, this is conventional loans. That's more investors. Mm. That's more people that are buying vacation homes.
Yeah.
So when you get on the MIP, it's really kind of like getting off topic of what we're trying to focus on.
Okay.
But we'll touch on it a little bit.
Yeah.
So MIP is mortgage insurance premium, which basically is another form of insurance. So FHA is insured by the federal government, which means that if you don't pay your mortgage and they default on it, the federal government will back that loan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on a conventional loan, they have a dollar amount that sets a cap.
Mm-hmm.
Once you break that cap, now you have to have MIP insurance, which is mortgage insurance premium, which means you're gonna pay insurance to insure the loan to the investor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny how they got all these insurances to protect the investor. So basically what that MIP does is that if you default, that insurance will come in and cover the loan.
Oh.
But remember, you put 20% down.
Yeah.
So you got a lot of money on your side and already invested in
yeah.
it. So you don't want to risk that.
Yeah.
So you're going to do your best to make sure that doesn't get lost.
Absolutely.
But that's a whole other subject we can talk about later on for people that want to learn about investing.
Absolutely.
So
I mean, you mentioned closing costs.
Yes.
While talking about the impound account, your PITI, so what's involved in the closing costs and how does that work?
Okay, so in closing costs...
Is that a part of the impound account as well, or...?
No. What the closing cost has is there's two parts to the closing cost. The closing cost is actually the cost for escrow. And that is, when you buy a piece of property, you want to make sure when you get that property... there's no liens against it. You don't have no mechanic liens. You don't have judgments against it because the person you're buying it from, you don't know them.
Yeah.
So you don't know what they had going on in their life
yeah.
with this piece of real estate.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can have anything from, you know, they refer to mechanic liens.
Mm-hmm.
Mechanic liens can vary between somebody who sued you for services.
Yeah.
Whether and it's funny because the whole idea of mechanics, you think mechanic lien, someone worked on your car. Well, yeah, it kind of be that simplistic.
Yeah.
That somebody worked on your car and they go, you know what, I'm going to put a lien on your property.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is a cloud on the property.
So even, like, can we like break it up into a scenario like with the Gardenia properties? Like, since I owe money on three lots.
Right.
And let's say we both build on one lot and we go to sell that lot. But our contract with those three properties say that at the sell of the first property, we have to pay off the loan for all three.
Right.
So would the closing costs and the escrow part be a part of protecting the seller of the properties?
What happens on that scenario that you're talking about right there?
Just to put it into a playing field.
Escrow will basically follow the rules that have been established to a property.
Okay.
So you're taking a very unique situation
here.
So, and in your scenario that you're talking about is that the rules of the contract says that if you build one of the properties, all loan, the full loan is paid in full.
If you sell the first property.
If you sell one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, one of the things that you didn't see in the contract, though, doesn't necessarily apply to only selling it.
Mm.
It could apply to refinancing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're taking that one individual property and segregating it from the other two.
Yeah.
So as a result of that, that triggers paying off the rest of them.
Yeah.
So what this does, though, with escrow, the whole purpose of escrow is that when you buy a piece of property, you only owe to the bank what you agree to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And escrow is there to make sure that there isn't somebody else owed on it.
It's making sure everyone's getting paid in the process.
Absolutely. But more so than that is making sure. So let's give the scenario.
Yeah.
So you decide to buy a piece of property, and the person you're buying it from, you're taking the word for it. There is no debt on the property. And you say, okay, I'll buy the property. You buy the property without getting it escrow. Now, keep in mind, you have escrow, and then you have title insurance.
Okay.
Escrow is just a process where two people come together. They get a third party, which is escrow, to basically keep everybody on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, escrow is a third party to make sure A and B do what they agree to do.
Okay.
That's what escrow does. Now, escrow also does title insurance. So when A is selling a piece of property to buyer B, buyer B wants to make sure that they're getting a piece of property and they're paying X, $25,000 for the property. They want to make sure that that's all they're paying is $25,000 for the property. So with escrow and getting title insurance, title will go and do research on the property to make sure there's no liens on it,
mm-hmm.
no mechanic liens, no judgments. It's a clean title.
Yeah.
So that when buyer B gets a property, they pay the $25,000, that's it. Nobody else is going to come back and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, A owed me some money on this property. I want to be paid. Sorry. I got a clean title from escrow, from the title insurance, says that everybody was paid. So there's nothing owed to you. Sorry.
Yeah.
That protects the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's very, very important that you have title insurance on a piece of property, because even when we talk about new construction.
Yeah.
Okay. So just like the house that we just completed right now.
Yeah.
We have to file a notice of completion through local newspapers that basically does a public notice. For 2 weeks, they run it through the newspaper and says, we completed this house, located here. If you have any issues, you need to bring them up. So during that time frame, let's say you did some work on a property and you didn't get paid.
Yeah.
You see, oh, notice of completion, hey,
yeah.
I didn't get paid.
Yeah.
You challenge it.
Wow.
When you challenge it,
yeah.
Now escrow, through their title insurance, is actually going to investigate.
Yeah.
Okay, what's owed to you?
To include me in the escrow terms.
Of what wasn't completed.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to investigate what weren't you paid for.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go through arbitration, yeah. which is a whole other area.
So that's why escrow is so important, is because you don't want to just get a house and have someone come knocking on your door saying, hey, I did work on this house and I wasn't paid for it.
Right.
Now you're the owner. Now you owe me money.
No, and that's exactly what will happen.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure you get a clean title.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that when you get your property, nobody can come back and say you owe them money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole purpose of title insurance and escrow. So that keeps everything above on top of the table.
Yeah.
You know what you're buying. They know what they're selling. The transaction takes place. Escrow is a third party that makes sure A and B do what they're saying they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then with the title insurance is to verify that the property is clean.
Yeah.
With no clouds. So escrow is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
But more important than escrow is the title insurance. Because you want to make sure that nobody's going to come back to you, because that's where your insurance comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you buy your house and all of a sudden somebody comes in and say, hey, I didn't get paid for this. Okay, well, you go to escrow, not you, the owner, the person who's making the claim, you go to escrow and you talk to them.
Wow.
Because now they're going to deal with escrow, and because escrow has insured you, they've insured that your property's clean.
Yeah.
Clean title.
Because escrow did all the paperwork clearing that, okay, these two things can be sold together.
Correct. So you can see how, you know, the small amount of money that escrow is going to charge,
yeah,
and the title insurance is going to charge, it's worth the money.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
So it's very, very important on that aspect there. So that's what escrow does. That's their role. You know, it's one of those things that it's a lot of protection for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets you in a clearer, which is peace of mind.
Yeah.
That, okay, I got this house. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. We're solid.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think we can, we should talk about I know episode 2, we talked about the basic home buying process and what you should do before you go and buying a home, like go get pre-approved, figure out what you are qualified for.
Right.
Can we talk a little bit about the we mentioned before, where the last house we just finished, we built it, the buyers that are buying it, they watched the home be built.
Right.
And they basically just walked up and asked, who owns this house? How can I buy it?
Right.
Can we talk about that process and what, how someone can do that with us or with anyone around?
Absolutely. So you know, it's kind of funny how the process of purchasing something is as simple as writing down on a napkin.
Yeah.
You know, you write down on a napkin, you know, I hereby sell X to you, and we come to an agreement.
Yeah.
I sign it, you sign it, there's a contract. There
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
And it's so funny how we've come to the point in time where everything is so legal.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. It's to protect people, which is fine. I got no problem with that. But
it should be super simple. Way simpler than it is with all
Absolutely.
This paperwork. But I mean, there's some things that have 30, 40, 50 pages of something that's originally so simple to...
Well, just to give you an idea, this is what's really interesting. Houses that I've sold through a realtor is literally 16 pages. And yet this house we just sold to Anthony and Darnell
yeah.
was half a page.
Yeah. Crazy.
And a lot of it has to do with the legalities
yeah.
of people protecting themselves. Okay,
yeah.
I get that part.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for
yeah.
it. You know, if you agree and I agree and we're all good, then we're all good.
Exactly.
You know, and if there's any differences in between, then we work them out or we
yeah.
don't work them out.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, a lot of this stuff has become so intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so intimidating because,
yeah.
you know, I could see... Like with Anthony and Darnell.
Yeah.
You know, we sit there and say, okay, here's what we agreed to the price for the house. This is what's included on the house. This is the price of the house. Do you agree? Yes. I agree? Yes. Sign.
Mm-hmm.
Sign. Escrow. Done.
Yeah.
End of story.
Their situation was kind of unique because we actually played with another part of the real estate in the deal. And I think that'd be cool to talk about on how...
Oh, absolutely. That's an option, though.
Exactly.
And that was really kind of good for them
yeah.
because it worked out really good
because
for them.
Because that could scare someone. I mean, if you're going to talk to a mortgage broker, let's say they're only approved for 215 and the lowest that we want to go is 220.
Right.
That's putting them in a situation that they already want to back out versus
right.
knowing that there's other options out there.
Absolutely.
If you own other piece of real
Absolutely.
Estate.
Absolutely.
If you own another house.
So on this scenario that we're talking about right now, very, very specific scenario where, like you said, Anthony and Darnell.
Yeah.
They wanted to buy the house. We had a price fixed on where we could go no lower than this number.
Yeah.
But they were in a unique circumstances where they wanted to keep their mortgage at a certain price.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a real cool thing for us.
Yeah.
And an awesome thing for them.
They get because what they wanted out of it.
Absolutely. We got something out of it. It was a win-win for all of us.
Exactly.
And that was a really good situation because most people don't understand in real estate, and unless you're a negotiator in commercial or negotiating in real estate to network,
mm-hmm.
you're really not going to understand a lot of the different vehicles of buying real estate. The cool thing about it is that they came up with an offer. They came up with alternatives that they had available. And it worked for us, and it worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were able to do is that on this particular house, we agreed to $220,000 for the house.
Yeah. And I think that can get a little confusing for some that we wanted to open escrow at 220.
Correct.
But they only got a loan for what?
215.
Like 215.
Right.
So that sounds kind of confusing to some.
It does.
Like, explain that part.
Okay. So what happens is, the least we could take for the house was $220,000.
Mm-hmm.
The most they can qualify for is $215,000.
Mm-hmm.
We could not come down to $215,000, and they could not come up to $220,000.
Yeah.
So what they did, though, the unique situation about it is that they owned a piece of property in the area.
Vacant
parcel that they owned free and clear.
Yeah.
That was the market value of that property was about $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked, they said, well, we got this property, you know, can we use this as a down payment? Absolutely.
And it's cool that they asked that question versus just like saying like, oh, the lowest we're doing is 220 and they back out the deal.
Right, because they may have to think, well, we got to sell this property so we have $15,000 to put down on this loan so we can get the loan to where we can afford it.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it is like, okay, well, let's go look at the property. We looked at the property and based on what the area was priced at, you know, it was priced at $15,000. So, you know, we looked at it and said, okay, well, this works for us. We want to buy more property so we can keep building affordable housing. So we said, okay, well, we'll accept that as part of your down payment.
Mm-hmm.
They were excited because they thought, oh, we have to wait to sell it. Once we sell it, this house is going to be gone. We can't buy this house.
Yeah.
So that whole idea, so if you got an idea, or you got something of value that you can actually, just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Yeah.
The worst thing that can be said is no.
Yeah.
How hard can that be?
Yeah.
Now, because they presented it, I went and looked at the property. I went, okay, looks great.
We talked to our dozer guy.
The guy said, absolutely. It's a good price for it. That's the going rate.
Yeah.
So we came back to them and said, okay, we'll use that as a down payment. So now, for not having a quote-unquote down payment,
mm-hmm.
they had a piece of property that was equal to $15,000 down.
Yeah.
Now, we still did the sale price of the house of $220,000.
Keep
the value of the home up.
Yeah.
They used their property that they own free and clear
mm-hmm.
as part of the down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So now the $220,000 house with a $15,000 down payment put them down to a mortgage of $205,000.
Yeah.
Which made them ecstatic because now their payment's lower than they thought at $215,000.
Exactly.
They took a property that they weren't going to be able to build on because they both work a lot. And so they were able to use that asset
mm-hmm.
as a down payment to buy another asset, mm-hmm. which worked for us. Yeah. It worked for them. Win-win all around.
It worked for a lot of many people.
And it worked for a lot of people.
Hearing a price saying like, oh, my mortgage broker said I'm only approved for $215,000. You want $220,000. Sorry, I can't do this deal.
Right. And that's where a lot of people stop.
Yeah.
Okay, because understand that a down payment doesn't necessarily have to be money.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be real estate.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people don't understand because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, let's just hypothetically say, you know, you want to buy a house and let's say you have an old classic car that's worth $30,000 that you've had for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is somebody wants to sell a house. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah.
You might have the car they've been looking for their whole life.
Exactly.
And let's say the car is worth $40,000 if you sell it. It has value. Yeah. So you come up saying, hey, you know, I want to buy this house. I don't have any down payment, but I got this. Would you accept this as a down payment? The worst they can say?
No. Yeah. Like,
okay.
Exactly.
Move on. Yeah. You know, and that's a thing that people need to be creative on it, because you don't have to be creative in the sense of being an investor.
Yeah.
You can be creative on a first-time home buyer.
Yeah.
You know, you can have something very unique, and it doesn't even have to be anything huge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of things out there that have value. Anything from comic books to action figures to some of the things that you're talking about, Hot Wheels and Matchbox.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything has a value, mm-hmm. and you don't know what the person that you're buying from interests are.
Exactly.
You know, you
that could be like the one in lifetime like find for some people. Like,
absolutely.
Oh yeah, I've been looking all over for one of those.
Absolutely. And see, and that can be your down payment.
Exactly.
You know, it may be something that you've had for 20 years as a kid.
Yeah.
And like, hey, you know, give an example. I got the Star Wars collection. You know, they say it's worth $10,000. Will you give me $5,000 towards a down payment on this house?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And see, this is where a lot of people get creative.
Exactly. I mean, that $5,000, that means the difference between a $220,000 house and only a $215,000 loan.
Absolutely.
Just that basic scenario.
Absolutely.
That saves canceling out on a, basically, for some people, a lifetime deal almost.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is, this is where a lot of people don't take in consideration that for some reason they get so, and again, it's intimidation.
Yeah.
It's intimidation. You know, you're thinking, okay, from what I've learned my whole life, you buy a house, you got to have a down payment, here's your down payment, and down payment's always got to be money.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Down payment can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be money, it could be a car, it could be toys, it could be collections, it could be comic books, it could be anything you want it to be.
Absolutely.
And this is where I'm hoping that we can actually educate people to think outside the box.
Yeah.
That you may have, I mean, we can go as far as jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, we can go as far as coin collections. I mean, anything of value,
mm-hmm.
you know, that somebody has that has been passed down generation after generation, whether it be jewelry, whether it be, hell, a wine collection.
Yeah.
You know, it could be anything. Who you're buying from, it may be something they've been looking for and didn't know it.
Yeah.
And unless you say something about it, say, you know, I really want to buy this house, but I don't have any money down, but I have this.
Yeah.
Does this have any value to you?
Yeah.
No? Okay. Move on.
Yeah.
Does this have any value to you? Yes. Okay. Well, this is what I see it's worth. What will you give me for it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you this towards a down payment. Great.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I'm hoping that with a lot of this information that we're giving out there, and I know we got way off subject here.
I think it's perfect.
But the thing about it is educating people on some of the value that they can exchange for buying a house.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny.
I think it's great that it went off topic a little bit, because it's still, all of that still connects to escrow. It all connects
absolutely.
To the terms. It's
absolutely.
Because it's like, understanding what escrow is, it's tying A and B together, but it's also bringing so much more value to the end sale.
Absolutely.
It's you can actually tie them all together in one.
No, and this is what's really interesting though too. That's kind of unique to like the scenario we're talking about, Anthony and Darnell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're an older couple,
mm-hmm.
and it's their first time buying.
Yeah.
And they're scared and they're intimidated because they don't know,
mm-hmm.
and excited simultaneously, which is the most rewarding part.
Yeah.
That they're so excited about being able to buy a home.
Mm-hmm.
And the exciting part to us is that we're actually being in a position to be part of that process.
Absolutely.
That
you have enough history of being able to educate in basic terms on the terminology that people are confused by.
Absolutely. But I'm hoping that this right here, that, I mean, this whole episode right now, being able to get people to understand that, you know, you may have a lifetime, 20, 30, 40 years of collecting things that you think are only valuable in terms of selling, that could actually be used as a negotiating tool to purchasing a house.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, me personally, I collect classic cars.
Yeah.
So you know, if somebody came up to me and had a classic car that I really wanted, I would probably consider that as a down payment.
Yeah.
And you know, it may be something, one of those things that somebody has kept over 20, 30 years because they loved it, but now it's like, you know what, it's time to move on to buy a house. I need to get a house.
Yeah.
Could I use this as a tool to buy a house? And absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, you know, the thing about it is that everything has value. And the thing about it is that most people out there, when it comes to real estate, they think that real estate is all about dollars.
Dollars.
And it's not.
Yeah.
It's all about trading value.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things right here, that along with educating people on the acronyms and the terminology that banking use, understand you may have a lot of different valuables.
Yeah.
That could be used as a collateral to actually buy a house.
Absolutely.
And I'm hoping that right there really inspires a lot of people out there.
I think it will.
People, you know, that, I mean, I've worked with people back in the days who had these collections of Star Wars, you know, action figures from the 80s, you know, late 70s and the 80s that were $10,000. It's like
baseball
cards, toys.
Baseball cards.
Absolutely.
There's so many things that you can...
So many things.
So many things with value out there that I know a lot of people might have.
Well, and that's the thing, though. People don't recognize that as a down payment.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. You know, coin collections. Anything you have that has a value can be negotiated to something else that has value.
Exactly.
Now, the only challenge you're going to run into is whether or not the person you're trying to use it as value towards wants it.
Exactly.
That's the only challenge. But keep in mind that there's all walks of life out there.
Just ask the question.
Just ask the question.
The worst thing they're going to say is...
No. And so what? So what? Move on to something else.
Yeah.
You know, so again, I'm really glad that we got on that subject of it because
it really shows... It connects with escrow, I believe.
Absolutely.
It connects with escrow a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is where it's going to help a lot of people, because the understanding of it is that wanting to use a specific product in terms of buying something, people need to get away from the idea that it has to be dollars.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be dollars.
No.
It has to be something of value to the person you're giving it to.
Exactly.
And the trade of that value back. So hopefully that works for a lot of people out there. And I'm hoping that it really expands a lot of people's ideas of what they have out there that might be of value.
Sparking their creativity on...
Creativity, there you go.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like I said, you know, go back to what you said. The worst they can say is no.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, you know, I got this baseball collection of this.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe the person selling the house has just got a passion for baseball cards. You don't know.
Yeah.
And this is something you've collected since you were a kid. You know, you got 20, 30 years of collection on this.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, what do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, well, put it in escrow.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about it is escrow, they don't care what it is.
No.
And that's where a lot
of
people...
They just want to know what value you're putting to that specific item.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what one of the biggest things with escrow is they don't care what it is. As long as you both agree on what it's worth... What it's worth is what it's worth. That's end of story. All you want to do is put a number.
Yeah.
And when that number's down, there it is. Okay, here's your baseball cards. Here's your house.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Simple as that.
So we went over FHA loans, conventional loans. We went over PITI, impound accounts, closing costs, and the escrows, and how we can be creative in escrow.
Absolutely.
Any other things that you want to touch on?
You know, that right there was so much stuff on there. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that right there will really inspire a lot of people to look at what they have.
No, yeah.
You know, because, you know, it's one of those things you see a lot of these shows where they talk about garage finds and attic finds.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things that people may have things that they think, oh, yeah, whatever, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what somebody wants or somebody's looking for.
Exactly.
And like I said, what does it hurt to ask?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, seeing some of the things that you've been following on a lot of social media that people are going to garage sales.
Mm-hmm.
Buying things for pennies.
Maybe this is a new outlet for even us. I mean, putting something on our website for things that we might be interested in.
Absolutely.
And so anyone that's watching and wanting to buy a home in Hawaii from us,
absolutely.
Homes, maybe we could put a link on our website to showing us or telling you guys what we would be interested in if you had something.
Absolutely.
So we
absolutely
have that outlet, you know?
Well, you know, the other thing too that we didn't cover on there too that could has a value is,
mm-hmm.
you know, people may have real estate in other areas. They want to trade.
Exactly.
You know, you may have something, let's say, in England or Sweden or Ireland or something like that. You want to trade.
Yeah.
We're open.
Yeah, exactly.
We're open.
Absolutely.
And those are some of the other things, too, because just like having, again, I mean, from being in Hawaii, meeting so many different people
mm-hmm.
who do so many different things. I mean, you know, it's like talking to Forrest. Talking about he traveled the world as a teenager on a sailboat.
5 years?
5 years on a sailboat.
Yeah.
So it's like one of those things where somebody who's, not that I'm interested in a sailboat, but who knows?
Yeah.
You might find somebody that has a house for sale,
mm-hmm.
and you own a sailboat, and you're done sailing, and you want a house.
Yeah.
Hey, I got the sailboat. Yeah. Would you take this as a down payment? The worst they can say is...
There's a lot of independent contractors out there that are like us, that are into a lot of other things other than just building houses.
Absolutely.
They have their entertainment, they have their hobbies.
Absolutely.
Maybe they have their own collection in something, and that's...
No.
They've been looking for one specific thing, and maybe you guys have that one specific thing they've been looking for.
That's it. And the cool thing about this is I'm really hoping that this actually gets people to look at things that they have that are valuable,
mm-hmm.
but not valuable in terms of dollars, but valuable in terms of trading.
Exactly. Yeah.
How powerful is that idea to be able to trade something?
Yeah, I have this, you want it. Like,
What can we negotiate on a trade?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
That works out perfect.
I'm kind of happy that the episode went long like this. I mean, we haven't made an episode in almost 3 weeks.
Right.
And I think this kind of like makes up for those last couple weeks. And
absolutely.
I think it was a cool episode.
No, it was really, really good.
I really want you guys to comment below your ideas, things that you took from this as value. Like I said, maybe we'll work on a link on our website, a page on our website with things that maybe might be of value to us. Maybe I'll even put in the descriptions in the video of possible ideas that come to mind. Like, I mean, we mentioned it in the video. I mean, baseball cards, Hot Wheels, Matchbox.
Classic cars.
Vacation
homes. Absolutely.
So I'll try my best to put as much as I can think about in the description below.
But like you said, though, people are putting comments on there.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe asking more specific questions as to would this work or would this work or would this work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, give us some scenarios and we can tell you right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, basically the bottom line is if you have something that you think is valuable,
mm-hmm.
then guess what?
Yeah.
Somebody else is going to find it valuable.
Oh, yeah.
And if it is valuable, you can use that as a negotiating tool
mm-hmm.
to get to where you want to be.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is that a lot of people don't understand is that they may think, well, you know, I got this collection over here, I had it for 40 years, and it ain't worth nothing. Maybe to you it's worth nothing, but to somebody else may be worth a fortune.
Exactly.
Now, you just got to figure out where that match is going to fit.
Yeah.
You just got to find that person that where it's going to fit for them, and then actually, you know, put it together where it works for you. Make it a win-win.
The scenarios are broad, but it is possible. It is.
Absolutely.
It is totally possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's kind of funny because it's just like, you know, some of the other guys that are building out here, you know, who we know personally who bought a $100,000 classic car.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's a heck of a down payment on a house.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
exactly.
So you figure, you know, this person paid $100,000 for a classic car, which would be a substantial down payment on a $300,000 house.
Yeah.
One third. You, it could be a car that you had for the last 30 years of your life, and now it's like, I need to buy a home in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it worth?
Yeah.
You find somebody over here that wants that car, and you got a set value of $100,000, there's your $100,000 down payment. You just got to find the person who wants it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it comes down to.
And that's what it, and hopefully we can actually be that outlet.
Yeah.
That, you know, through people maybe, you know, sharing with us what they want to use, you know, as an example.
Yeah.
And again, coming down to the comments, you know, well, this is what I have a collection of.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody that would be interested
exactly.
in that?
Exactly. We become an outlet, an inlet. Whatever.
Absolutely. You know, working with everybody we work with, you
exactly.
know, we got no problem with it.
We know builders.
We know builders.
We know sellers. So we know what people are interested in.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
This, I think this is a really cool pathway for most sale homes to like open up to now, because it's like a whole new.
Well, I'm really hoping that this actually becomes an area that will get people to understand that, like a lot of things, there isn't one way of doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that real estate, I mean, real estate has unlimited ways of purchasing real estate. And the thing about it is that it's just presenting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, again, like the intimidation of buying a house, they're intimidated by it.
Mm-hmm.
The same time, people are intimidated by presenting an offer.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we look at it is, present the offer.
Yeah.
The worst they can say is no.
Cool.
You know, the best they can say is okay.
Yeah.
And who knows? This might be one of those things that work out for you. That, hey, I got this. Does this work for you? No? Okay.
Yeah.
And then try something else.
Exactly.
And see what works.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can actually be that filter
yeah.
that we can, you know, whether they buy from us or not,
yeah.
hopefully we can actually kind of like coordinate with other people, because we got a really good relationship with a lot of different people over here.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we got a real great relationship with other
people. Mainly possible here in Hawaii because of the way everyone builds here and the relationships we have here on island.
Absolutely.
But that aside, that it can work anywhere.
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you're in Hawaii or Virginia.
Yeah.
Texas or,
yeah.
or North Dakota.
You're just finding the perfect connection between the
Absolutely.
Buyer and the seller.
Absolutely.
This is cool.
Right on.
So.
Well, hopefully this is educational for people. Number one, to understand about the banking language
mm-hmm.
and educating the consumer so that they're a better consumer
mm-hmm.
and more so educating them to understand that they have value.
Yeah.
They just don't know or recognize it as
yeah.
value,
mm-hmm.
only because they're thinking it has to be dollars and cents.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. It's anything that has a value, and I'm hoping that this really broadens people's imaginations
mm-hmm.
to actually look at what they have
mm-hmm.
and put it out there.
Yeah. Comment below. Comment your scenario on what you think it is, and we will tell you, like, yes or no.
Right.
That would work or not. And
right.
I'm pretty sure 9 times out of 10, it will work.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't see a scenario that wouldn't work.
I don't either. Like I said,
anything has value.
Anything has value. Absolutely. It's just finding the match.
Yeah.
That value matches the person
exactly.
that wants what you want as value.
Exactly.
And as long as we can put those people together,
mm-hmm.
whether it's with us or not,
mm-hmm.
doesn't matter. We don't care.
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing is we want to be able to educate people out there.
Taking these ideas and putting them to work for other people.
Absolutely.
We want to share these experiences with other people. It's more rewarding if we see people taking our content and putting it to work versus us taking all the glory for
absolutely
those ideas in the first place.
Absolutely.
So I think this was a really cool episode.
Well, good deal.
So.
Well, I hope people learned from this, and I really hope they take the time to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they take the time to comment.
Yeah.
On what they see in what we've discussed. And hopefully they subscribe.
Yeah. Subscribe, like, comment.
Absolutely.
Whole Nine Yards. Follow us on Instagram. It's Muscle Homes. And then we have our Facebook page, Muscle Hill Homes, as well, and our website's musclehillhomes.net. And this was Big Island TV, episode 3, learning banking language and some creative ways of buying.
Absolutely.
I'm Cameron Maciel.
And I'm Chuck Maciel.
Mahalo for watching us.
Mahalos.